We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, is one of the best in the biz, and we love his calls. And Paul is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now. Paul, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, you guys are really, really nice. And that call that you played was violent. I mean, that was the cadence of a man who was calling games at fanless stadiums, calling road games off TV, and knowing coming up later on Christmas, Alvin Kamara was going to drop six on us. So that was a violent ass call right there, man. Holy cow!
How did you come up with that? Is that just that's just like an all time great line that you use?
You.
We get we don't really care about the Vikings here.
It is loose,
but we play your clips. Like, we don't play every highlight when we do our Around the NFL segment. We usually play like 8 or 9 highlights from games, but we always play your calls because it pumps us up every time we hear it. We go crazy.
That's really cool, man. I've been a racetrack announcer, horse races for 30 years. So, like, if you think Thistledown and their announcer Matt Hook, he used to be my backup at Canterbury Park in Minnesota, and he's a fantastic caller and guy. But whether it's Grand Island, Nebraska, San Francisco, Minnesota, I've been a racetrack announcer for 30 years, and about 15, 18 years ago, when a horse would open up by 3 at the top of the stretch, I wouldn't get guttural like I did with Adrian and or Dalvin, but you know, as they head for home, so and so opens up by 3 and he's loose into the final furlong, blah blah blah, like that. So it was a race. I took some of my racetrack stuff and I put it in the NFL because this is my first play-by-play job at any level. Thank God. And I put it in there and nobody had heard it and they seemed to like it.
Yeah, it's the best, Paul. I know you had Kevin Stefanski on your show recently. We love Kevin. Obviously, he did a great job here last year. We love the fact that he's a smart guy, he's a thoughtful guy. Obviously, you guys had him in Minnesota for a very long time. What's your relationship like with him? And I'm guessing you're not surprised that he's had immediate success here. Maybe you are because it's Cleveland and we haven't had a lot of success. But I'm guessing that you know him well enough that you're not surprised he's doing well here.
Well, I'm heading into my 20th year calling Vikings football, and Kevin was here a decade and a half. Right. And he, quite honestly, is the best friend I've ever had in football. And he's going to be in Minnesota this week, and I fully expect to get together at least a couple of times. He'll come out to the racetrack one of the days like he always has. And I just love the guy. I love his father, Ed. I like the NBA a lot. Ed's been a GM for many teams. And I'm just very close with their family. So, you know, when the Vikings lost the 2009 NFC title game with Favre at New Orleans, the only time that that I've cried after a Vikings game was when I embraced Brett Favre after that game. And outside of that, the only moment NFL-related or with the Vikings that really has zapped me so that it's been long-lasting has been Kevin leaving. And, you know, when he interviewed for the job that Freddie Kitchens got, you know, I honestly thought Kevin was a cinch to win that. And, you know, some people close to him thought he was a cinch too. And there was some surprise when he didn't. So when it came around a second time, he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. That's the only way to put it. And I don't say that because I love him. and because of our friendship. It's because I watched the games last year. And even with our games, I made it a point to watch every game and watch them back at NFL.com via Game Pass. Yeah. I know who he is. I know his even-keeled personality. He is one of the absolute smartest human beings I've ever met in my life. And if you got Odell Beckham Jr. and people worrying about him, well the Kevin Calm handles that. You got Hunt and Chubb, and they're both really good. Well, how are you going to handle that? Well, you got Kevin. And you know, he gets bit with COVID, you know, into that Steelers game. And, you know, he's going to watch it from his basement. And Alex does an unbelievably good job. And all Kevin does is give Alex credit, you know, where he's like, thy, not I. And that's just who he is. And I love the guy. Cleveland should be elated that he is the head coach. And I hope you guys go to the Super Bowl.
Paul, appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Where does that calmness come from? I mean, it seems like maybe his father or something, but he's just got this unbelievable calmness. You call him Kevin Calm, and it's a perfect fit for Cleveland because Cleveland's got this up and down personality. The team, all these Odell's got personality. Jarvis has personality, and then Kevin just comes in there and just is like even keeled, man, and brings everybody together.
Yeah, man, that's a fantastic observation because it would be easy for me to say, being, you know, when we first met in 2006, Brad Childress's first year, I would interview Childress middle of the week for KFAN for the coaches show.
Yeah, sure.
And Kevin's office was right next to Brad's, and he was the grunt work quality control guy who had the ability to work fast and efficiently and talk about something else. That's how smart he is. And when I found out, you know, how much into the NBA he was, and that's what I love, you know, that really nailed it for us. So the calm was there then. And but it would be easy to say, you know, when you're working with Brad Childress and Daryl Bevel and Bill Musgrave, Pat Shurmur, Mike Zimmer, John DeFilippo, Gary Kubiak, I mean, all these unbelievable minds, you also see how they react to things. So Kevin being Ivy League trained and having a father as a pro sports GM, you know, it's clear to me that Kevin, while being himself, was able to observe how everybody handled things and over a long period of time. And even though he may not have taken notes on it, it went to his heart and it played into professionally who he is.
You know, what's amazing, Paul, is that, you know, in this town, we're so desperate for winning, right? When the Cavs won the championship, that was great. It was the first time in forever that Cleveland had won. But the Browns mean more than anything else in this town. And the Browns have been so bad so long that when they made the playoffs and won a playoff game, everybody in town, from the media to the fans, wanted to tell Kevin Stefanski how much they loved him and how great he was. But as you know, he didn't want to hear that. He doesn't want to hear about how great he is. Yeah. He wants to talk about how they lost in the playoffs, how he made this mistake and that mistake, and how last year is last year, we got to move on. And I think that's a big reason why he's such a successful guy.
Bro, that's you're dead accurate. You nailed it. It plays into the smarts because he's going to be the last one to take the credit. Okay, but now how about this with your head coach? So, I mean, because of the pandemic, my daughter just turned 18. I had a Jamaica trip for her in March of the pandemic year 2020 for her 18th birthday, senior in high school. Yeah. And, you know, that thing was postponed. So then it was postponed to this last May 1st. So I'm in Jamaica May 1st to May 8th with my daughter and some other people. And, you know, we're out on a catamaran and just like cruising around doing that kind of stuff with a big group. And I see a couple of people in the water who have, like, one has a Cleveland Browns, like little hat or something like that. And we started talking. They asked me what I did. I told them they were interested. And then I said, well, your coach worked with us for 15 years and he's one, and I love the guy. And then they were smitten. So I said, all right, when we get back on this catamaran, I'm going to give you a surprise. So I texted Kevin. And then 2 minutes later, he took a FaceTime in his office with these five Browns fans looking at it. One lady almost peed her pants. They talked for about 2 minutes, and then he had to go because it was between stuff. That's Kevin. Okay. Kevin didn't do it to be like, you know what, in this corporate transactional bullcrap world, I'm going to do that because it's going to lead to endorsements and 25,000 more season tickets. No, he did it because that's where his heart is. And he knew it was the right thing to do for not only those season ticket holders, but the people struggling all the way back to the Ernest Biner days. Are you kidding me? We've had heartbreak here, but I mean, we're kindred souls in this whole heartbreak thing. But then you got that title with LeBron and we're still, you know, kind of holding our hearts in our hands.
Yeah. Paul, I want to ask you about Sheldon Richardson. He doesn't resign with Cleveland. He goes back to Minnesota. Why do you think he picked the Vikings over the Browns?
Well, I didn't, you know, it's when I had Kevin on my radio show, the deal, I got the steam on the deal from somebody with the team, the Vikings, later in the day. So I didn't even ask Kevin about it, and it wasn't anything I was going to text him about. So I didn't really know until you just said it that maybe we beat the Browns. But if we beat the Browns for Richardson, then they're okay with him leaving. I mean, I would imagine at this stage of the equation, it's not super devastating. When Sheldon was here in 2018, he, in a 4-3 as a defensive tackle, he gives you a little bit of wiggle that we previously have not had since he left. Even those 4.5 sacks, not that he got last year in 18 with us. So he just gives us some wiggle. He's going to be a backup. We're stacked in the middle thanks to free agency. Michael Pierce, formerly a Browns rival, he opted out last year. He's back with Dalvin Tomlinson, Sheldon behind them. I think that, and Danielle Hunter next to them. That sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Paul Allen with us from KFan in Minneapolis, the voice of the Vikings. Paul, what is Mike Zimmer's? We would talk, it's always hot seat in the NFL. We were talking about that with Joe Woods before. He commented, hey, we're in the NFL, we're in the hot seat every year. How hot is the seat for Mike Zimmer heading into the season?
Well, I mean, if you just look at it truly for what it is, the owners gave him, he had an option. Team picked up the option predictably into last year. Before that, they added 2 years to it. So they have this year and next year with Zimmer, Spielman, and the GM and Cousins. So these are very key times. I never would be one on my radio show here, game, race call, whatever. I don't go down the this person's going to get fired road, and I never have in my 23 years on KFan, simply because I don't like it. I don't like doing it. I just don't need to be right about it, and I just let it fall where it may. But if you look at it pragmatically for where it is, what have they done in the off season to improve an awful defense? And your head coach is a defensive mind. Our defense was terrible, largely because of injury, Pierce opting out. We lose Danielle Hunter for the season, Eric Kendricks for half the season. We got nothing but rookie corners, and they're getting killed until middle of the year because it's a virtual offseason. So Zimmer faced that, and it was bad. So what do they do? Pierce comes back, Dalvin Tomlinson, Sheldon Richardson. You get Danielle Hunter back, Kendricks, Barr. You sign Patrick Peterson, Bashaud Breeland. You bring in new safety from Dallas, Xavier Rhodes. You draft Xavier Woods. You draft two defensive ends, Robinson and Jones, Florida State and Pitt. I mean, seriously, they've laid a lot out for him defensively. It has to be immensely better. And the offense already was good from last year. And you got Kubiak's kid, Clint, who's smart like Kevin. He's the coordinator. So you just look at it that way. If you own the team, you run the team or whatever, you look at all that. You got fans back in the stadium to help Zimmer's defense on third down, and which you didn't have last year, and it was a disaster. And you look at all that in a 17-game piece, needs to be 11 minimum for me. It's got to be 11 minimum for me if all the right people stay healthy. So you look at it like that, and then so then when it ends, where did it fall? And then that's where axes or extensions fall.
Paul, before we let you go, I just want to hit on the Twins for a minute because I'm stunned.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've had a lot of injuries, and the Buxton injury really it seems like every time Buxton – a couple of years ago, he looked like he was ready to explode, and then he got hurt, and the same thing has happened again this year. It's a shame because he's a really talented player. They've been so bad. Is it just injuries? I mean, there's more to it than that. How do you explain how awful they've been so far?
Man, it's it's a very difficult conversation because early in the season, when a story popped up, first series against Milwaukee or maybe into it, a story popped up about those within the locker room who are vaccinated and those who are not, and some things that are just like popping up that don't lead to cohesion. You know, we're about ready to jump into an NFL season in September. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a season-long issue, and you guys will talk about it.
Yep.
I just wonder if that fractured them a little bit from that long, winding baseball cohesiveness that you have to have. And then Buxton gets hurt. Falvey, with whom you're very familiar, and sure. And Thad Levine, the GM, I mean, they've done good work here since they've gotten here. But now, you know, you pay Matt Shoemaker, he's terrible. You pay Jay Happ, he's average at best. You bring in a shortstop, Andrelton Simmons, who, when people are describing him, it's like in football, they're talking about the 85 Bears. So in the first game, of course, he makes an error. He's been average. And yeah, they've just whiffed on things this year. Bad timing. You got the vaccine, the non-vaccinated, that could be an underlying, non-obvious. But it's been ridiculous. Alexander Colomay, are you kidding me? I mean,
yeah,
that's
terrible.
Whoever could have seen it being that bad? And I hope Jensen Lewis isn't listening, because he comes on my radio show, and he and when he's right about Cleveland or some type of first inning over under that he nails, boy, he lets me hear about it.
By the way, Paul, you know, I used to go to Minneapolis. And when I was a kid, we would go every couple of years, because my father's brother lived out there and my cousins were out there. So
yeah.
I think it was Brooklyn Park, if I remember. I can't remember the exact
town.
Sorry
to hear that.
Yeah. but anyway, I remember going, and it was like negative 100 degrees. But I remember going to the Metrodome and thinking, this is the worst stadium.
You guys are cocky over there in Cleveland because of that football team. You're making fun of our weather when
right.
The game for years has been the armpit of America.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway.
The weather, now listen, here. Cleveland's awesome, Minneapolis is awesome, the weather stinks in both places in the winter. The summer, it's great. But the Metrodome, I remember thinking that was the worst stadium I had ever been in. The new stadium I haven't been to yet, it looks awesome. How bad was the Met? Am I ripping it too harshly? And
no.
Is the new stadium
it
great?
It was awful.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it, okay? The Metrodome was sports immortality. Kirby Puckett.
Yeah.
Hit World Series home runs. Adrian Peterson got loose. Brett Favre played there.
Yeah.
But it was antiquated, ain't no doubt. And you know, the trend of the NFL with the way things go, I mean, I completely get it. I love the Metrodome. The loudest I've ever heard a game in my life was when Favre hung five on the Cowboys in the divisional round of 09. And the Minneapolis Miracle, 2017 U.S. Bank Stadium, that was super loud, but it's a bigger building. Right. Now, the only way to put it is the amenities, as Kevin knows, at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center, the practice facility, they're the greatest in the history of the NFL, and it's not even close. End of story. I'll lay that out there. If somebody can prove me wrong, find me on Twitter. The greatest you'll ever see. It's Taj Mahal. U.S. Bank Stadium, same thing. Taj Mahal, pivoting doors. It's beautiful. It's unbelievably great, and I love it. But, you know, eventually, at what cost? Intimacy, you know, where Metrodome, dingy, intimate. Practice facility, Winter Park, dingy, intimate. Pre-COVID, negative world, full of a bunch of crap, but more intimate. You know, so it's just, there's like a trend of things going here, pulling intimacy from the world. I'm not here for it. But it's happening.
It's a fair point. It's something that is missed and you don't think about that much. Paul, you're excellent. We love you. We appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, God bless you guys. Best of luck to the Browns. Man, I hope you guys go to the Super Bowl and call anytime.
We appreciate
it.
The great Paul Allen.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.